Postal Service, as you know, Nathan, hemorrhaging money for years, and they've been telling us all along that more cuts are coming. You know, more cuts are coming. They did say they would try to keep the buyouts and attrition in check, and that was how they were going to make these cuts. This particular report, though, that you're quoting indicates 20% of the Postal Service's workforce will be gone by 2015, and that is significant. But let's put it in context. We already knew that the Postal Service expects to be insolvent next month. They made that announcement earlier this week. If it were a private sector business, it would have already had to file for bankruptcy. We already knew they would be closing more than 3,600 post offices. That's one-tenth of their facilities. And they announced, I think it was in June, that they were going to be no longer contributing to their employees' pension fund, which is overfunded. And everybody agrees that that has been overfunded, and that has been really impacting the bottom line. So while this is a huge number, and it's a lot of people, and it's more than they had wanted to do, it's not that shocking when you put it in context with everything that's been going on.
But both numbers that you cite there are huge, Amy. 120,000 jobs, 20% of the workforce. That really puts it into context. Could we see further service cuts along that line when you have so few employees left if this plan were to go forward?
You could conceivably, but remember, all of this depends on Congress. I mean, there have been many proposals that have been going through Capitol Hill for different types of service cuts. The most the one that a lot of people have heard about is eliminating Saturday delivery. You've seen all of these proposals go through, and nothing has happened. All of this is going to take congressional approval. And while lawmakers are all on the same page, wanting to see the Postal Service succeed, wanting it to remain solvent, how they get from point A to point B is really hard to say. You know, unions have already gotten their eyeballs on this latest cutback proposal, and they are dead set against it, as you can possibly imagine. But it's not up to them. It's up to Congress. Even though unions already have a contract, a relatively new contract, it's up to Congress to decide how this is going to play out.
Yeah, I was going to say, it seems like a big union fight is in the offing with a plan like this, particularly when we're talking about a switch in benefit plans. Can you talk about that a little bit, what that could look like for USPS employees, the ones that are left?
That is a really great question. The health and retirement plans are pre-funded, and the Postal Service has already said that it owes another $5.5 billion. It's due at the end of September. The Postal Service is the only federal agency that's really required to make this type of payment this way, to pre-fund these plans. $5.5 billion it cannot afford, and it's already said it can't do it. What we do not know is how much money any new type of health care and benefits plan that they establish, how much money would that save? How much money would it cost them? And this entire plan overall, I'd like to see some bottom line numbers. How much money do they anticipate saving, and how long is it going to take to put something like this in action? If they want to have all of this done by 2015, they would have to start moving now, which means they'd have to get Congress on board as soon as they come back from their break.
But even if this plan does end up saving the Postal Service money, it's still an open question whether it gets to the underlying problem for the Postal Service, the competition from the Internet that's led to so many of these insolvency issues for the agency, and the fact that it has so much competition, not just from the Internet, but from the, you know, UPS and FedEx.
Well, don't forget, the competition that you cite is a huge part of it. Another huge part of that's eating into their bottom line is the pre-funding of these benefits plans that nobody else really has to deal with. I mean, when they stopped contributing to the employees' pension fund, that was a real earth-shattering move for them to have to do. But $5.5 billion by the end of September, just for up to this part of the fiscal year, is an enormous number. And that's a huge part of why they are in the red, and they need to figure out how to get back in the black. There have also been proposals on Capitol Hill to recalculate that formula so that they can still contribute to the fund, but contribute on a more equitable scale. And everybody is on board with that. It just hasn't gotten anywhere on Capitol Hill.